Our first lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. And we've split up the lesson into two parts, so I'll read the first part and then I'll ask the children to come forward. The scripture reading goes like this. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it."
Continuing our Corinthians lesson for the day. "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." The word of God for the people of God. Good morning. I am Deborah Milcarrick. And I'm Deb Milcarrick to you, because now we're officially friends, so we can slice off the bottom, the end of that. I am your newly elected, yet to be installed, General Presbyter of the Presbytery of Hudson River. This will take place on March 3rd, then I'll be completely and wholly official. So I'm looking forward to that. Raise your hand if you even know what that means. Whoa! Nice. That's impressive. Many don't. I have to tell you that being around congregations all over the country, every congregation in the Presbytery of Baltimore, and many congregations in this presbytery, you've not disappointed me. You lovely ladies sat in the second row, but no one else. You're all sitting back there. That's so deeply Presbyterian. So deeply Presbyterian. And the other thing that really excites me about this morning is that when we started to clap, a few people did. And on the right beat. It was exciting. So thank you for that gift this morning. Well, according to my job description, allow me to share that with you. I am to provide strong, dynamic leadership that will assist the Presbytery of Hudson River to do its mission and achieve its ministry goals, all to the glory of God. That's me. Raise your hand if your job description actually, in reality, reflects the work that you do. There's one. You are officially on the personnel committee of the Presbytery of Hudson River. Wow, that's awesome. Well, I have to tell you that actually, between you and me, my job boils down to something a little different, basically one thing: building relationships between congregations so that with our common vision, our shared vision, we are bound together and stronger than we could be as individual congregations. That comes down to discerning particular gifts of particular individuals and particular congregations, and discerning how they can work together with other particular gifts of particular congregations throughout the presbytery to come together to do the good work of the kingdom. It's what good leaders do everywhere, in any leadership position, in any place. It's what your pastors do. It's what your newly installed and ordained deacons and elders will do. It's what Paul did, or tried to do. The church in Corinth was a mess. Folks were fighting and arguing for power, arguing that one person's gift was better than another person's gift, was stronger than another person's gift, as they tried to move this newly formed church forward, arguing. I've heard it said that the church in Corinth was Presbyterian. And judging from your laughter, you know why that might be true. Seemingly, this church, this congregation, this community loved to argue. What did they argue about? Well, if you haven't read a lot of the letters of Paul, just name something: ethics, morality, law, leadership. They even seemed to enjoy arguing with Paul, who was trying to lead them. Hence, he had to write the letters. It's often joked at the General Assembly, which is the biannual meeting, a national meeting of Presbyterians. It's going to happen again in 2020 in Baltimore. Has no reason. That's not why I left. The Presbyterians gather together. Where two or three of us are gathered, there are four very strongly held opinions. I assure you, that is the truth. If you would like to see that in action, I invite you on Tuesday to come to the meeting of the Presbytery of Hudson River, which takes place at Stony Point. You will see that Presbyterians value arguing. Secondly, the church in Corinth, much like many Presbyterian congregations, much like Yorktown, is chock full of folks that have many, many gifts. The Corinthian congregation was well known for its healing, its working of miracles, its prophecy, its discernment for speaking in tongues and interpreting that. Okay, maybe that last part is not too Presbyterian. Maybe. But in Romans 12, Paul gives us another list of spiritual gifts, which include ministry, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, compassion. Maybe that's more familiar list of spiritual gifts. But the point is not the gifts themselves. The point is that there is a great variety of gifts that God has bestowed on Corinth and on each and every one of us. Paul's analogy of the body and the anatomy lesson that he gives us is positively brilliant. Can you get along without your eyes? Yeah, of course you can. But you're going to need to make some adjustments. You're going to need to make some adjustments so that you can help see things a little clearer that might not be clear to you, or need some assistance perhaps to see some specific things. Let me get a little more personal. See if you can identify with this. Can you get along? Can a body exist without one good working knee? Yeah, yes it can, it certainly can. But I assure you, adjustments need to be made. However, can an eye function without a body? Just try to picture that. Can a knee function, even sillier, without a body? However, many times in our lives we operate like an eye without a body. Paul tells us, he tells Corinth, that that is not the way of God's plan. God's plan is to bring together in a community remarkable people with different and remarkable gifts to accomplish things together that they might not be able to accomplish alone. And these gifts that each of us possess, well, think about that. Think about the gifts that God has bestowed on you. What are your talents? What are your abilities? What are your aptitudes? What events have happened to you in your life that have shaped you? Your family, your health, everything. Your gifts are the sum total of the resources that God has given you. Your gifts are not just genetic abilities and natural aptitudes, right? I hope. I see that when I try to do math. It doesn't all come naturally. Many of your most precious gifts are qualities and resources that have been developed in you over time as you react and live and be in relationship with others. God has given everyone sitting in this church today particular gifts, and I ask you to consider, what are yours? Let me share a personal story with you. I almost died once. Remember H1N1? Notoriously, it was called the swine flu. Yeah. Many folks were getting sick. And I don't know about up here, but in Baltimore, they were actually constructing tents outside of the hospital in 2009 so that people that had symptoms of the flu would go in these tents, as opposed to taking your symptoms of the flu into the hospital where even more vulnerable people could get sick. Well, I contracted that in 2009. It turned into pneumonia from the flu. Pneumonia turned into sepsis, and I was in a coma for a week. They called my children, and they brought them home from college, all three of them, and said, "It is likely your mother won't make it through the weekend." It was very serious. Now, some interesting things happened to me when I was in that coma and near death, and that's a whole nother conversation that I would love to have at some point. But what I wanted to share with you about this experience are the gifts that flowed to me and my family during this very, very difficult time. I had the gift of a member of the choir come to my bedside every single day and sing, just sing. I had been working for many years with a local labor rights organization, folks that did not speak a word of English. The local labor rights organization came into the hospital, 10 people, a bus that took them 45 minutes to get to from Baltimore City, and brought several casseroles. Now, I didn't partake of those, being in a coma. However, the folks that were in the waiting room and the doctors and nurses that were taking care of me were so grateful for that group of folks that came up with their casseroles. I had the gift of jokes. Someone sat there and told me jokes most of the time that I was in a coma. It was my accountant. Now, I wasn't, I hadn't been used to being told jokes at all by my accountant. It was quite the opposite. But that was the gift that he brought to me. My pastor friends surrounded me with prayer, surrounded me in that hospital with prayer. Different people, different pastors over and over again, which I will admit, when you do wake up and you're surrounded by, by pastors wearing collars, it's a bit disconcerting. You know that you're a little closer than you wanted to be to the other side. I have a friend that's a doctor, and Paul taught that the church in Corinth would be strong and would survive if all these gifts could work together, not one better than the other. All the gifts could work together. Yorktown will survive and continue to thrive well into the future if all of your gifts are working together as one body. The gifts of leadership, the gifts of compassion, of ministering to the sick, of ministering to the homeless, of feeding the hungry, of nurturing your youth. When all those gifts operate as one body, you will continue to thrive as you are as a community of Christ. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We all just celebrated the extraordinary life of Martin Luther King Jr. I would like to share with you in closing a quote from him. Listen carefully. In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. You can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. We are the body of Christ, friends. May all of your gifts work together so that we might realize God's kingdom here on earth. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.